Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. This is actually Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Pastor John Lutz here this afternoon. And Brother Lutz be with us again next week, Lord willing. And he'll actually be filling in for me in a couple of weeks on the last Friday of the month. But always good to have the opportunity to sit in. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you stay tuned after this program, I'll be on for our regular program at 1:30. And then, of course, Pastor Andy Rusnacko from the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, will be on at 2 o'clock. So I hope you'll stay tuned for the next hour and a half or so here. And, of course, a lot of good programming throughout the day here on AM 1220, The Word. And like I said, good to be able to be with you today. You can find out more about Pastor Lutz and the North Coast Baptist Church in a little bit. Have that information at the close of the program, talking about the church, where they're located, and how you can contact them. If you'd like to know more about me and about our church and our program, you can look us up online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And just by way of a shameless plug for our program, we're going to be covering a topic that we touched on a couple weeks ago at 1:30, and it's the alien gospel. I'm going to have Ian Juby on, a guest with me again, and we're going to be following up to the recent discussions about the UFO phenomena and that we've seen in the media, and we've had some on our program, and we're going to look at what supposedly is being said, the message of these supposed aliens, in the next half hour. But today, kind of a prelude to that, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 1. That's Galatians chapter 1, and I encourage you to take the time. I know Pastor Lutz always says that get your Bibles, and he gives some more information while you're turning there. But certainly, if you got your Bible handy, or you can jot down the reference, and you can look at it later. But Galatians chapter 1 is what I want to look at here today. And I was thinking about this in light of what we need to know as Christians, what we need to know in our churches, what needs to be done. I've been preaching through the book of 2 Timothy in our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and one of the passages that we were at recently in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll get over to Galatians chapter 1 here in just a second, where he said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then he said in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Well, that is what we're kind of looking at here in Galatians chapter 1. And it says in verse number 6, starting here, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Again, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, the Apostle Paul here kind of is a little vague, isn't he, about how strong he thinks the gospel or how strong he thinks of preaching the gospel and not preaching a false gospel. In fact, he repeats it twice there in verse 8 and verse 9. If somebody preaches any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's verse 8. Verse 9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's very strong language that the Apostle Paul uses there. And the reason is the gospel message is so important. That's why he had told Timothy to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, and warned Timothy that people would turn away from it and not want to hear it, and they would turn to fables. And so what happened and is happening is that people are perverting the gospel of Christ. They're changing it to another gospel. And this is something that we'll be, like I said, talking about in the next half hour a little bit, the alien gospel, so to speak, dealing with UFO phenomena. But we don't have to go to the UFO phenomena. We can look at the pulpits across our country today to see people that have perverted the gospel of Christ. I remember our church, we were talking one time, and there was another church in the area that I happened to look up online, and I was watching as the pastor was doing his message, and he held up a gospel tract, and he said, many of you have probably seen one of these. Perhaps you've seen one at a gas station. Maybe you've seen one in a restroom, or someone's given one to you. He talked about it, and he held up a basic gospel tract, something that many of you are familiar with, a little pamphlet that has something in it to get somebody's attention, and then talking about the gospel and how to be saved. It presents what Christ has done for us, how he as God in the flesh came into the world and went to the cross after leading a perfect life without sin, and then went to the cross where he shed his blood as he suffered and died to pay for our sins, and then was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And a good gospel tract also includes the idea of repentance, not just the fact that Jesus died on the cross, but Mark wrote in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Romans 10:9 said that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And this idea of repentance here is the idea that we admit that we've sinned, that we admit that we deserve hell, and that we admit that we can't save ourselves. And so we turn to Christ, believing that he died on the cross, that he paid for our sin and paid the price that with his own blood. And when we embrace him and believe on him, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Now, this gets perverted. This gets changed. This pastor held up this tract, and he said, maybe you've seen this. And he held it up, and he waved it and said something to the effect of, while there's nothing in this that I disagree with, and then he went on to disagree with the entire tract. And he talked about how this idea of putting your faith in Christ dying on the cross and paying for your sins with his own blood and having your sins forgiven and a promise of a home with the Lord. And that he said, this is a pie in the sky salvation of no earthly good. Now, keep in mind, this is a pastor of a church that bore the name Christ in the church on the sign out front. And he said, this is of no earthly good. Well, I'm sorry, it is of earthly good. It's the fact that people have put their faith in Christ and they've received salvation. They've turned to him and confessed their sin and been genuinely born again, redeemed, has caused many people to turn and do much good. Well, he instead then went on to pervert the gospel and to talk about how they were involved in packing shoeboxes with some supplies and some different things to give to some immigrants in the Akron area, where they had brought in some people from different parts of the world, and they were settling them in the Akron area. And he said, if you pack one of these shoeboxes that can be given to one of these immigrants, he said, that's true salvation. That's how you can know that you're saved, is you're packing one of these shoeboxes. He says, now this has earthly benefits. Well, I'm sorry, but see, he was preaching a social gospel, which is another gospel that Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, which is not another. It's not another. They've perverted the gospel of Christ, and we see this over and over, how the gospel of Christ is perverted. Let me go back to what we're looking at here. When he said in verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, because this had begun happening shortly after Paul had been there at Corinth. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he makes a statement here in starting in verse 3, he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Now, beguiled means to fool, to basically to gain the confidence of and then mislead somebody, and generally with a negative connotation there. And he says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He goes on in verse 4, for if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, notice he outlines three things here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. He warns about somebody coming that preaches another Jesus. Well, you know, there's a lot of people named Jesus, and there were a lot of people in Jesus' day named Jesus. There are people today that have that name. I remember when I was in the Air Force one time early in the morning, I arrived in the building. We were in a secure facility, and one of my jobs was to go to the comm center and pick up the previous night's message traffic, and then break that down, distribute to who it needed to go to in the building, as well as put together the commander's reading file. And so as I came there kind of bleary-eyed, because I had to come in about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, I think, earlier than everybody else, so that I could get all this stuff done. And I was kind of half awake, and I rang the buzzer on the door for the comm center. And it was one of those Dutch doors where the top half and bottom half can open and close separately. And as the top half of the door opened, I looked up in my half-awakened state, and here comes Airman Jesus. But of course, you know, Jesus is spelled J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. And so I thought, wow, here I am. Jesus, Airman Jesus, has given me my messages for the day. I thought it was kind of humorous as I collected a stack of message traffic and headed back to process everything. But in his case, he was not the another Jesus that Paul was warning about here. Paul is warning about another Jesus being somebody presented in place of the Christ of the Scriptures, not somebody merely bearing the name Jesus or Jesus, but somebody taking the place of Christ. Remember, that's what the devil tried to do. And the Bible warns that the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. We know that during the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to come to power. He's the false Christ. That's one way of looking at him. But he's in place of Christ. He takes the place, usurps the place. That was the devil's desire, to ascend, put his throne above the throne of God, to take the worship that was meant for God and take it to himself. And so there are false Christs that come into the world today. And we need to be aware of false Christs that are in the world today. And so he warns of another Jesus whom we've not preached. And then he talks about receiving another spirit. You know, John said to try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. And there's a warning there, because there are false spirits that are in the world trying to lead people astray. Paul, back in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, said in verse number 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And as he's talking about these perilous times, he talks about, he says, for men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then he says this in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And he's talking about these people that are going to come, and he describes them in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's why we need to go back to the true gospel message. Paul warned there'd be those that come that preach another Jesus. We see that in the world, false Christ being proclaimed, false Christ, a Christ that demands things that Jesus never demanded in the Bible, a Christ that demands that you make shoeboxes in order to get saved, a Christ that is presented that his death on the cross was not sufficient. It was merely the down payment of your salvation. A Christ that is just one of many Christs. You know, Jesus Christ is okay for you Christians, but Muslims have another way and Hindus have another way. He's not the Christ of the Bible where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then another spirit, a spirit that leads people astray. And then, as he said here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, and not only another Jesus and another spirit, he said, but another gospel. He warned again of another gospel. And that's what we're looking at here also in Galatians chapter number 1, where Paul warned that they would be those who would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, of course, was described for us by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 15. He very clearly outlines the gospel message. He says in verse 3, for chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 3, he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our scripture or our sins according to the scriptures, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I like how he keeps saying that, according to the scriptures. And then he continues on in verse number 5, he says, verse 5 here, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter there, Peter and Cephas are the same, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And that's a reference to the Apostle Paul there. So Paul describes the gospel here, the good news of what Christ did, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that many people saw him and were witnesses that Jesus Christ indeed had risen according to the scriptures. And this is the message that he is emphatic that we need to teach and that we need to preach. And he argues that we ought to defend it, that we not get distracted away from it, that we are not soon removed from him that called us into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, back here in Galatians chapter 1 in verse number 7, which he says, which is not another. See, when you take away or add to the gospel of Christ, you've changed the gospel into something else. When you add in things, some people, for instance, have added in that you must be baptized in order to be saved. It's not enough that you believe that Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was risen again according to the Scriptures. We understand that when he died according to the Scriptures, that he shed his blood to pay for our sins. We understand that when he was risen again, that he died and was buried and risen again according to the Scriptures. We understand he fulfilled the prophecies. He died, he was numbered with the transgressors in Isaiah 53, and he was buried in a rich man's tomb, and he was not put to death for his own sins, but for our sins. And these are all things the Scriptures talk about. And then he rose again on the third day, as he prophesied, and he rose victorious over sin and death. We see all this in the Scriptures. And when we change from that and we add in something such as baptism and say, but you must be baptized in order to be saved, then you're saying his death, burial, and resurrection was not enough. We have to add to it. Well, should you be baptized after you've been saved? Well, absolutely. The Bible teaches that. In fact, Peter preached a great message in Acts chapter 2, talking about the need, about salvation, but also about baptism. And this is a passage that so many people have taken out of context, and they've tried to use it to falsely teach that you must be baptized in order to be born again. And so when we look here in Acts chapter 2, and as Peter is preaching this great message on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, and he's preached Christ crucified and risen again. In verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now they asked what they were to do. They were under conviction, having heard the gospel message. They realized they needed to be saved. And so under conviction, they asked, what shall we do? And Peter gives them several things. Repent. That has to do with putting your faith in Christ. You turn from your sin. You turn from your hope that you can be good enough, your hope that you can do enough. You throw yourself on the mercy of Christ, believing that he paid for your sins. And that's in the repentance part. And then somebody's out there saying right now, well, it said, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That tells us you got to get baptized in order to be saved. No, it doesn't say that. You're reading that into it because you want to. You know, do you ever see one of the old Western things? You know, Jesse James wanted for bank robbery, or Jesse James wanted for train robbery. Was that an employment advertisement? Did they want to hire him to rob banks? Did they want to hire him to rob a train? No, they wanted him. They wanted to arrest him because he already robbed the bank. He already robbed the train. For meant because he had already done it. And so the be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for because you've already had the remission of sins, not in order to get it. There's other passages that talk about that, but we don't have time to get into that. I hear the music coming, and I know we're out of time here, but consider the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ, so important that Peter or Paul defended it in Galatians chapter 1. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.